Hello and welcome to Grumpy Old Teachers. What up? What's up, people? We have I don't have my sound effects tonight. Because I have an article Scott wants to talk about. So
what?
Oh no, you wanted to talk about it.
Of course.
Don't play innocent, Scott Bedley. So I am John Samuelson. I am up in the Portlandia, Oregon of the northwestern part of the United States. We like to call it the Pacific Northwest. We like to call it the Cascadia. That's what we like to call it.
Is there a reason why it's called Cascadia?
Yeah, I think it's the fault where if there's a huge earthquake that we'll all fall in and die into the ocean. Kind of like California. Yeah, it's pleasant. It's a Cascadia fault.
That's very pleasant.
Let's think about it. I am a TOSA. Scott seems extremely testy tonight, so I'm going to talk about how
I'm so testy.
I'm a TOSA, which means I don't do anything that I don't want to do because I'm a TOSA, right? Because I'm supreme and I'm not a teacher. I don't have to do anything. That sounds like the Iditarod sound effect right there. That sounds like. Anyway, I'm going to kick it on down to my main man, the aforementioned grumpy teacher. He's the actual grumpy teacher. I'm just the grumpy TOSA. And his name is?
Yeah, we probably need to change this to the grumpy old TOSA.
Yeah, should we change it to grumpy TOSA, grumpy teacher?
Yeah, although you have a new show, John. So I don't know if I'm your main man anymore. I think I'm your second fiddle.
I know. Scott's jealous now of Brian Briggs, winning our STEM, our whole two STEM podcast.
That show's rad.
Thanks.
I hope you make it past two shows.
You know what, though? When people talk to me at ISTE, a lot of them come up and they refer to Grumpy Old Teacher Scott because it's basically the only show that's left from the Techlandia days, right? And so with Grumpy Old Teachers, people come up to me. I had three people come up to me at ISTE and say,
wow,
I really appreciate what you said.
30,000, John? What's the percent on that?
Three people out of 30,000. And they say
we're really making a dent in the world.
Hey, you know what? It starts with a little ripple in the pond, right?
That's
how it starts.
Let's John. Let's make a quote card out of that.
Let's make a quote card and quote ourselves. It all starts with 3 out of 30,000 people. If three people listen. But yeah, no, Scott, they appreciate what we say.
I appreciate that those three people are listening 1,000%.
I hope they are. Scott, are you going to introduce yourself?
I am Scott Bedley, and I am in Orange County, California. Former teacher of the year. My award was taken away from the grips of my hands and passed on. And John, I'm going to be at a new school, man. I'm really pumped up. I'm going to be at a new school. I am no longer on the year-round calendar. Right now, they are getting ready. They're fast asleep because they start school tomorrow.
No. Are you serious?
John, yes, they do.
This is where year-round schools just fail miserably right there. It's, you know what? It's always good until someone starts on July 12th.
The teachers actually started back the 10th.
Oh, brutal. That could have been you.
It could have been me.
Now you're off. That's good. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
What was the reason?
For changing?
Yeah. Closer to home?
Gosh, a lot of reasons. Number one, spend more time by far with my son and my wife, and that's the number one reason. But the principal there is amazing. He has an incredible vision. I get to teach with an incredible staff group of people that I know are going to be pushing the limits on everything that they're doing. So all those aspects, I think, went into the decision of making the move. It's a brand new school, so the chance to build something from the ground up and help create a culture like that is pretty exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I remember when I opened a new school. That's how I met my wife, Marnie.
Really? Wow.
I met her there. She was a young teacher, and I was like, "Hey, I'll stay and help you." You know, because you do like a big grant. We actually had the guy like come in. I'm like, "I'll stay after until 8:30 and help you with the mural on the wall, the big bulletin board, and then I'll walk you to your car." That's how it started, and now here we are, 15 years later.
15 years, four kids,
a move to Alaska, a move to Austin, Texas, a move to Portland, bought houses in all three of those places.
And man, you drove between each of those places.
I did. We sold all our stuff and drove. People do not know this about me, but yes, that's true. We'll talk about states a little bit too when we go through. But yeah, I think that'll be, you know what? It was a great, fun opening that new school. And I remember that first year that we did, we opened that school, and the year I was talking about, that was one of my best years of teaching. It was a lot of fun. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Have that same experience. I mean, I hope you don't meet some young teacher because you're already married, so you can't.
No, I'm very happily married too. But John, no, this is my second school I've got a chance to do this with, open a new school. So it's
Scott, why do you have to do that? You always have to one up me. I said I've opened one school. Now you've opened two.
Opening schools. Always do this to me. My whole career for at least the last 7 years, I've been opening new schools, John.
Yeah, you were at your old school for a long time, weren't you?
I was at the last school I was at for, a long time.
You can't even talk about it because you're old. That's why you're so old.
I don't want to mention how many years I was at that school, but I've been at quite a few schools, John. Yeah, I've taught third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and even high school, John.
Gosh, I can't see you as a high school teacher.
I was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the first day?
I was the most amazing high school teacher ever, and I tweeted about it that whole year.
Did you tweet quotes from yourself too?
Oh, of course. Are you kidding? With selfies, with my quote over my selfie. It was beautiful.
Did you make sure that you put yourself in every picture that you tweeted too?
Of course.
Because I think that's really important. I think that
teachers, I love pictures of myself.
Yes. Teachers and principals, they're the stars of Twitter. And I just want to keep seeing their faces over and over again.
Are teachers still on Twitter? I know there's a lot of TOSAs there, John, and a lot of
administrators. Yeah, there are a ton of TOSAs on there.
A ton of administrators, a ton of published author educators that are no longer in the classroom. And a ton we need to find some chat that has actual teachers in
it. Yeah, you know what? Twitter with teachers would be really cool. That are actually sharing lessons and ideas. That would be awesome instead of just sharing I don't know. But we digress.
Advice.
We digress from there.
Advice how to be a better teacher, even though you're not a teacher. Just shattering myths left and right.
That's right. I will. You know what? If you listen to this podcast, we will lead you into the light. You're in darkness right now, teachers. But we, Scott and I, have all the answers, and we will lead you into the light.
And if you believe that, you better shut this podcast off fast.
And if you believe that right now, then turn it off and unsubscribe. Thank you for listening.
We maybe are seekers of the light, John. We are desiring to make an impact, but we're certainly definitely never the guys that say we know it. That's for sure.
That's right. We can give you our opinions though.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I was going to tell you about the one time I taught high school. I taught high school for a half a day. It was my first job ever teaching.
Does that count?
No, I mean, literally half a day I went in there. And so here's the basic.
The first half of the day, John, or the second half?
It was the second half of the day, So the teacher came in, there was
Tim Bentley would say about that?
What's that?
He would say, good job, John. Good job.
Good job. You'd say that a boy.
That's
attaboy.
Like 2 hours longer than his 5-minute mishmash. So.
I know. Should we try? We're going to try and keep, we're going to try and stay under an hour tonight.
Okay.
We're going to try. Let's shoot for 45.
Let's shoot for 30.
See if we can do it. Okay, let's shoot for 30. We'll make it 45. So I think I've never made a podcast that I was 45. You know, they're always 45 minutes. I don't know. Yeah. And I don't have that much to say. It's really interesting. So the first day I was substitute teaching, I got called in real quick, right? So this was the only day I ever taught in high school.
Okay.
I was 22 years old. Okay.
22,
I was living in Madison, Wisconsin, and I had just finished college, and I thought...
Was that when you were roommates with Kurt Reese?
Yes, that was when I was living with Kurt Reese, by the way. A lot of people don't know that about us. We were roommates on State Street in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And so so it was funny because the teacher got called out really, and I didn't think that anything would happen. And so I was just applying to be subs, and I didn't have a real teaching job. And so I got called in right away, and it was like 30 miles south. So it was my first job really teaching. And the teacher was like high school seniors history. And so we got through all the stuff. And then these football players were like, well, hey. And I was like, we had like, of course, like 7 minutes of dead time. And there's nothing I could do, right? And I just got called in and driven all this way. So the football players start arm wrestling. Okay, this is the trick. So they start arm wrestling, and everybody's
in the classroom that you're in.
In the classroom, because I have no control, right?
Okay, so if this was pre-cell phone video recording.
This is 1993, right? So we go in, and I look over at the door, and in the window is the assistant principal looking in as the kids are arm wrestling, right? And they're all cheering or whatever. So I wave the assistant principal in.
Were they throwing money on different sides?
No. And I just
wasn't
said,
that bad.
I just said, hey, assistant principal, whatever the person's name was, because they had just signed me in. I said, we finished all of our stuff, and these guys, they told me that this was appropriate for what they would do it with their free time. I said, I don't think it is though. And she's like, no, you guys, come on now. You should do this, and you should be taking out your books and silent reading and blah, 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 blah. And so then she walked out and left. And the kids looked at me. The after like 30 seconds, one of the kids looked up and said, damn, that was smooth, the way you handled that. And, of course, these kids are like 17, and I'm only like 22 at that point. So I was like, there you go.
See you guys after school at the park.
I said never again with the high school. Never again. That was just not my cup of tea.
So I really liked teaching high school. It was. I had a lot of fun. It was. I only taught it for 2 years, and I taught English, and I did the whole speech communication program. John, we were the number 2 speech team in all of Orange County, California.
Oh my God! Who was number 1?
Los Alamitos High School.
Oh yeah, they had Todd Marinovich probably.
Not when I was teaching.
No, I know. He's not your that age. Old. Yeah, he's exactly your age, I think. Todd Marinovich, right?
I think so.
He might be a little. I think he might be a year ahead of you. He's 48.
He's right around my age, John.
Yeah, he's right around.
That's
your
all
age.
We'll say.
Old teacher. So anyway, you know what? I got a comment.
John, went really fast on the old teacher thing. Mm-hmm. This is a great thing.
Old teacher, old toast.
My new site, I will be the oldest staff member.
No.
I'll be the oldest teacher on staff at my new site.
You know what, though? I have to say, if you're the oldest teacher at that school, that's a pretty cool school then. I'm going to give you props.
Cool.
Yeah, like I would think you'd be like the old, you're like you're working in the, are you working in the library then?
I'm the KG veteran. Oldest,
yeah, the KG, I usually think the KG veteran is like the cool librarian that comes back and knows like great literature and a little bit of technology, and she's coming back in, and she's already retired in another state, but she's coming back. Those are usually, that's why I picture the librarian somewhere. I don't know why. I always like, I'm a big fan of librarians.
Me too.
Yeah, I think they're cool. I think there's it's too bad. I wanted to meet my old one that I in at ISTE when I was in Texas. She kept asking if I was going down there, and I'm like, I'm going down.
John, so you were at ISTE. Are we going to go to ISTE? Let's talk about ISTE.
You want to talk ISTE?
Yeah, let's talk about ISTE. So ISTE this year, if you're listening to this show this year, this is 2017 that we're broadcasting this. ISTE was in
all year long, by the way,
in San Antonio, Texas. Am I right?
You're correct. Is in the we like to call the Alamo City.
So this was kind of a homecoming ish for you.
It was a homecoming for me. In fact, it was a homecoming I was going to avoid, but then I got an offer that was too good to pass up for my school district, which was you could go for free because one of the teachers backed out. So I took it.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I would say it was even more fun than last year in Colorado.
Ouch.
I mean, not because there's the obvious factor that you were in Colorado and
but I wasn't there this year.
Right. That could have been a factor. I don't know. I wasn't saying it that way, but No, it was great.
Briggs wasn't there either, so it couldn't have been
Brian
that much
Briggs
better.
Wasn't right, so you can't be jealous of Brian Briggs because he's not there. Brian, I hope Brian listens.
We were talking while you were there, John, and we were mocking and making fun of you the whole time. Trust me.
Were you? You should have been. I would have encouraged you if you hadn't. So, no, it was great. You know what I saw a lot of, which was cool, was I just kind of focused in on what I wanted to learn about, which is a good way to go to ISTE. And I really went to the sessions with Mitch Resnick, one of the MIT Media Lab head scratch guys.
Okay, cool.
And I talked with him a lot, and it was really cool and informative. Scratch is really going to take some steps forward in the next 9 to 12 months, I would say. I mean, they're taking great steps already, but I mean, bigger steps in the next 9 to 12 months. Like, they're going to have an update, and they're going to try and make all, I mean, their stuff is already kind of open source anyway, but they're really trying. It was interesting to listen to him. He's a really brilliant guy. So cool. It was cool. And I even paid extra for one of the sessions.
It's nice to hear unique voices that are in education, but really kind of outside education, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's right. He's in education, but not, you know, MIT Media Lab, somewhere that, you know, I'm never going to MIT.
Yeah.
Scott, I know that's a shocker to you.
Not yet.
Right? But it was cool. And then the other person.
When you say when you mean going, you mean visiting?
Yeah, maybe I haven't even visited Boston. I would love to go and visit Boston someday. The other people, and I actually have, I just moved the book, but before, but the other people that I saw were the Makey Makey people, which were Texas librarian Colleen Graves, who just had her book, and I just actually got it today, the 20 Projects for the Makey Makey Evil Genius Teacher, and then Tom Heck, who we're going to try and bring up.
Oh, not Jay Silver. I thought you were going to say Jay Silver was there.
No. It was Tom Heck, who's one of the outreach. No, this was Tom is more of the person that like trains the trainer kind of model. We're going to get him to try and come up to Portland and do a train the trainer model. That was one of the cool things that we did. So I learned a lot of Makey Makey and Scratch. That was my focus. And BBC Microbit was the other thing that I wanted to learn about, and I got a free one from the booth. So that was cool.
I got to ask you, John, mm-hmm. Did you bump into any of the Edge of Famous in ISTE?
Yeah. I mean, I saw a lot of the Edge of Famous.
Come on, well, start you know name what? Dropping, dude.
Okay,
we want to hear.
So, I mean, first of all, Scott, I wake up in the morning and I look in the mirror and then there I am right there. So
we all know
Edge of Famous. Edge of Semi-Famous. let's see. Colleen Graves, I thought Colleen Graves was the one person I took a selfie with. I said, I really respected her work. So I say, yeah, I did. And that was the only person I selfied with was Colleen Graves. Who did I bump into?
Dennis Rodman. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no. She's no Dennis Rodman. No Dennis Rodman like you bump into. You know who I had a really good time with? And, who's not as edufamous as he probably should be, kind of like me, maybe. I probably should be more edufamous than I am.
Okay.
I think, like you, Scott.
I mean, you are a Tulsa. You should be way more edufamous.
Right. I know, because I've got time to, like, write blogs and not really do my job, right?
Create lessons that you think will actually work with kids.
Right. Create lessons but never go in the classroom and really, like, put them to use. Was Scott Newcomb, a fourth grade teacher from Ohio. Do you know Scott Newcomb?
I know of Scott. He's awesome. I like him a lot. He's one of the people I like to follow on Twitter.
So, he seemed like he was kind of like me. I feel like we kind of ebbed on Twitter and then flowed kind of with our disillusionment of like quoting yourself on quote cards and whatever. But Scott was really cool, and we just kind of ran into each other at the Sphero booth with Mr. McNology. Which is no good without the sound effects now. But so we were talking to I was talking to Mr. McNology, and there's Scott Newcomb. And so the whole last day on that Wednesday, we hung out from probably 9 to 2 and walked the vendor floor. So that was kind of fun.
He's kind of like your kind of guy. Like, he's in the Bloxels, and he's kind of your kind of guy, right?
Yeah. You know what? Speaking of that, edufamous, right at with Scott, we ran into one of his home Midwestern people, Aaron Klein of Kleinspiration.
Really?
And Erin Cline had never heard of Bloxels. Can you believe that?
No.
She had never heard of Bloxels. I was like,
well,
I was
like, come on. She's a literacy person.
Right, right. Well, I mean, yeah. Bloxels, you can tell stories with Bloxels, right? That's yeah. the whole thing. You make a game and tell the story. So anyway, I was surprised by that, by Erin Cline, but I said, she should go check it out. And she said,
maybe
okay,
she
I
thought will. You said something else than Bloxels, maybe.
What?
I don't know.
What would she think I was saying? Are you trying to be... Are you trying to be rude to Erin Cline?
No, I just maybe she
Erin Cline doesn't know what I'm saying.
You have that thick Chicago accent, you know.
No, she's from Michigan. She knows people from Chicago. So anyway, but Erin Cline was very nervous about her move, Scott. She's moving from second grade to fourth grade.
That's so she was scary. Nervous. Oh, just kidding.
I told her she would be fine. Right. I said, Erin, your senior Erin Cline, you'll be fine. What are you talking about? But yeah, she seemed a little bit nervous. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, she seemed legitimately nervous. Oh, and then while we were doing that, we were also talking with the nerdy teacher. It was all four of us right there. If you would have come down to ISTE, you would have been like, oh my gosh, there's three edgy famous people and some doofus.
It would have been like the Edutopia party in Denver.
That's right. It would have. So, yeah. So it was interesting. I don't know. So I had a good time with Scott Newcomb. I took one of our teachers I went around with a lot was Rick Bush. And it was his first ISTE. So he was super excited. And so I tried
the bushes were big down there in Texas. So
it was right. I was surprised he didn't use that to his advantage a little bit more.
Yeah, at least a better seat at the keynote or something.
Yeah.
And do you know who I am? I'm Rick Bush.
I'm Rick Bush.
You recognize the name, don't you?
Third cousin to Jeff Bush. Give me the seat. This is my Ignite talk now. So yeah, so it was fun.
Did you see any of the Ignite talks?
Any what?
Any of the Ignite talks?
No, I don't watch the Ignite talks. They're lame to me. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. Sorry, I'm just being honest. No. I think the Ignite talk has been done. It's been done. I don't need to see it anymore. I mean, wait, I know that Bill worked hard on his. I saw him working on it. I'm not trying to. It's just not my cup of tea. I was when the first Ignite talks were going on. I actually went to the Global Education Conference before it. It was really cool because you actually sit down and talk to people that are there from other countries. A lot of them are from other countries. And it's cool to hear what other countries are doing with the education. And so that was during one of the Ignite talks. It's just not my thing. You know, it's like the keynote. I did bump into Jenny McGuire.
Oh, nice.
Out the first night. And I swore that I would go to her keynote. And then she told me that she wasn't the closing keynote. And I thought, oh, God, there's no way I'm getting up on Tuesday at 8 in the morning. So I didn't see it. I didn't see any of the keynotes. None of them. But I did get – I got good feedback from the first guy. There's a lot of people that really enjoyed the keynotes. I don't
know. Jenny's
a
great speaker. I saw her keynote out of Q. I saw Jenny's keynote out of Q, and she was fantastic. So I'm sure she was just as – dynamic there, and yeah, I can't imagine any less from her. So
yeah, Jenny's a star. The funny thing is, though, Jenny, not a teacher, not even an educator. Right? I mean, if I'm going to call myself out, I'm going to start calling the other people out. Then let's say, I mean, Jenny,
find me some teachers out there, John.
Let's find where are the teachers?
Famous.
Yeah, I don't know.
Erin Cline, there you go. Erin Cline, you got one.
Erin
Cline. Nick Provenzano, he's a teacher, I think.
He switched. Right, he's like makerspace guy now. So he's not
even. Man, what is happening? Okay, who else?
Can we define teacher? Like, we should redefine teacher.
Tim
Bedley's a teacher.
He switched out. He just texted me. He's becoming a TOSA, John.
No, he's not.
Of course he's not. No. He's not going to leave the classroom.
Okay. You said that so seriously there for a second. I was like, no. I mean, let's define, like, I mean, really, Scott Bedley, like, if you're having a down day,
yes.
Okay, this is how we're going to define the teacher right now. If you're having a down day, mm-hmm. Can you just like stop everything real quick and be like, you know what? I'm going to go to Starbucks and I'm getting a latte real quick and then drink it.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, so
it's called DoorDash, John.
I can't. I can do that, Scott. I can be. So that's why I'm not a teacher. I can do that.
Are you just bragging right now?
No, right? No, no. I'm just telling. I'm just.
I appreciate this, John.
This is right.
What else can you do that makes my life worse than yours?
That's right. Well, that's what I'm saying. So I mean, Nick Provenzano might be like, "Hey, you know, no, I'm still a teacher. I'm running the makerspace." But you know what? If Nick's having a bad day, he can stop everything and go get a latte. He can. And so that automatically just, that's our qualification right there. You know what I'm saying?
Can you, so an administrator would qualify for that too, basically.
Right. Oh gosh, administrator, please. Okay, so let's get to our real topic here. Let's get to administrators, because this made Scott Bedley angry. I'm just kidding. It was brought to his
disclaimer,
attention.
Disclaimer, like my dad, my father, who I love more than, you know.
By the way, I think I love Scott's father just as much.
He was an administrator basically his entire career. So yes. I have great friends that are administrators too.
That's right. We know great administrators. We know them.
Yes.
But they're few and far between, let's be honest. Okay, so. With that in mind, here we go. So I've got it on my phone.
You are this grumpy enough. Old Tosa.
This is right. Grumpy old Tosa. Here we go. Okay, so this is only from 2015, though. The Speak Up 2015 findings. 10 things principals told us about digital learning. Okay, here we go. Number one.
It takes that long to get feedback from principals because they're so busy.
Right, because they don't answer their emails, right? Because they don't know how to, they don't know how to open Outlook or Gmail. Okay, number one. Tech in schools is extremely important. 58% of principals say effective implementation of instructional technology is extremely important to student success. And 54 parents of students agree.
Yeah,
really, 54%? Only
54%? Which, really, you don't. And that struck me, John. It's not the 58% that say that tech is extremely an important school. It's that there's 42% that don't think it's important.
That's right.
School.
And there's 46% parents don't either. They don't really think it's anything. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Well, I'm going to think right now. Let me think in my little brain.
That's the number one thing. You started at the top, John.
I started number one. Data? Do you say data or data?
Depends on if you like Star Trek or not.
I like Star Trek, so I say data. Data is informing instruction. 75% of principals say their school is using student data to inform instructional strategies with positive academic results. I say, survey says, not 3 out of 4.
I mean.
So teachers are fooled. Maybe that means that 3 out of 4 principals are fooled by their staff and they do the little Mickey Mouse assignments real quick and be like, oh yeah, look at that. I'm totally using that that data right there. I'm not using the data, I'm using the data.
That number struck me as low, John. I thought more principals would have said that their teachers were using data. Wouldn't you? I would have thought 100% of principals would have said that.
I think that's good. 25% are just winging it. I think that number is way higher, by the way.
Find this at the tomorrow.org if you want to fact check us on yes, any of find this.
Yes,
we're by not. By the way, fact check away, and we're probably wrong on everything. So
that's right. You can fact check us, but I don't know if these facts are getting social with parents and students. 52% say their schools are successfully using.
When there's a qualifier in there that says successfully, I want to know what the measurement for that qualification of successful using it.
Yes. I think that successful is that you take a bunch of different fonts and just email parents in different colors and different size fonts and different everything.
No,
just put a bunch
of links.
That's
not social media. I don't think email would qualify as social media.
Okay. Email doesn't qualify. Okay. So I'm saying really wrong.
Is it like the number of followers, John, do you think? Or we'll get to the emails and the fonts in a second.
Okay. So yeah, because I haven't read this list. I'm reading it for the first time. So when you go through, like, right. All right. Let's be honest for a second. How many schools I can think in my district right now do even just have like a school Twitter account in your district, Scott? Do you think it's 52%? Do you think half the schools have Twitter accounts?
Or Facebook? You know, that's a good question. I would guess yes. I would guess yes, but I don't know. I question my own intuition on that one.
Right. And so then, I mean, is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? I mean, because, you know, there are some teachers, like my son's teacher used Facebook very successfully for 2 years with their Facebook page. That was nice. But I mean, the school in general, I was just teaching the principal how to use Twitter at that school. And I kind of showed her. And I think she's trying. But I would say out of the schools that I have, like this last year, I would say one out of the four have a Twitter account.
25%. And is 25%?
I'd say it's lower.
Successful.
I would say it's not even successful. I would say she just started learning it. So I mean, I'm just being honest. So I mean, I would like them to use it better.
Like that's my goal for this year. John, does successful mean that they have the ability to like send out a tweet? Like because what I found is that, you know, when I looked at my actual statistics behind things that I was using and tools for communication, like it was far less successful than I thought with communicating with my parents. And so I keep shifting what I'm trying to do to communicate with parents because it's not as successful as I actually think it is.
Right. I mean, there is the thing in, I mean, I'll just go elementary school since I'm elementary school, but I mean, Seesaw, right? I mean, Seesaw has an element with parents, and I could actually see, because we updated to the full version of Seesaw just to try and see if we liked it or whatever. I could actually see how many parents looked at their kids' things on Seesaw, like that the kids shared to their portfolios. So that kind of provides real numbers.
Right.
You know, so I mean, there's that, and I wouldn't say that's social media, but I would say that's connecting with parents. And I mean, does like
to know, right? Yeah, if it's a way to at least measure, you know, if you're successful or not. So,
yeah, I don't think you need to be successful on social media as long as your teacher is communicating. Are they using Remind? Let's say, does Remind provide what the teacher needs? Does the school need a Twitter? I feel like the school kind of does need a Twitter account, to be honest. But I don't know. That's me. I definitely don't feel like half the schools use them.
Right.
You know, and I don't feel like they use them successfully.
Yeah.
There are some edgy famous. I don't think they use their Twitter account success. I would say it's a success to them because they're getting Twitter followers. But as far as like content goes, it's a bunch of lovey dovey quotes about nothing and nothing gets solved. So,
well, you know, like memes with self-quoted memes with selfies.
I don't know. I kind of like those sometimes just because I look at them and shake my head and go, what are people doing? So anyway, here's a big one. This is a big one. Jumps in concerns about digital equity.
Okay.
In 2007, only 12% of principals cited digital equity as a top concern. That's technology use outside of school. Uh-huh. Fast forward, now 51% rank it as a top concern. And it still leads me to believe, what are the other 49 doing?
I don't know.
What are they thinking? They're not concerned about kids that have access to technology, and then there's kids that go home, they don't have Wi-Fi? That's a big
problem. The other 49%, they actually don't have problems accessing technology at home. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. Well, see, you know what we did in Beaverton, and I'm going to give us a shout out real quick. So we had a group of teachers, and I can't name them all, so I won't name any of them individually, even though I know a few of them. Mm-hmm. But they did a really good job getting a grant, and they have, I think we have 4,000 hotspots going out to school, going out to families this year that got donated. And so
that's super cool.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things. I mean, there's always the story about the people that, you know, there's that school in California, that school district a long time, like years ago, that put the Wi-Fi on the school buses to kind of, and then they would park the buses by the apartments where they thought that kids would use them. I think there's some good solutions to getting the equity problem in place. I don't know, but it's right. It's just taking the time to think about it. Then thank goodness we had some teachers that took the time. So shout out to
the people. You mean TOSAs that took the time to do that?
No, it wasn't just TOSAs. It was a TOSA that I work with, but there was also more school-based people than TOSAs, to be honest with you. Yeah, they were actually, it was a concern to them. So yeah, no, I'll give a shout out to the couple TOSAs I know that did it, but they had a lot of help from teachers. You know why, Scott? Because teachers work at schools and they can't go and get a latte whenever they want. Some of the people that want to create memes. Yeah, I mean, right. They can't. I mean, the only way you could go out and get a latte is you have to wait till your prep and then run out and like ask for permission and then go out real quick and come back in over.
Hit it on your Starbucks app and make sure it's ready to grab and go.
Yeah. Okay, here's number five. This one makes me laugh a little bit. Principals are tech users too. 81% of principals text with colleagues. Okay, I can believe that. 73% use an online video to do something. That I totally don't believe. 61%.
Wait, hold on there. 73% use an online video to learn how to do something.
They're saying that 73% of principals know to go to YouTube, like any student, and find a video.
27% of principals do not know that yet. Okay, good.
27% don't, but I think that there's way more that don't, and they're lying. I think 73 is too high. I think they're lying. Yeah,
that sounds pretty high. 61%
use a mobile device for note taking during classroom observations. Okay.
Is it a mobile device? I mean, I'm assuming that's like a phone, but
yeah.
Would iPad. Principals misconceive that, or would anybody misconceive that and say like a portable laptop? Oh, yeah, portable laptop is considered a mobile device.
They might totally. And then 36% use Twitter as an informal PD tool. No.
36% of
that's high. That's way high. They don't.
That's huge. Like the number of people that we're talking about doing that then.
Right. So in my school district, we have 50. I mean, are we counting assistant principals as principals too?
You tell me, John. I would count them. Yeah. They're doing formal observations on teachers.
So then that's a lot of principals in my district then. And I would say that let's just say we have 100. I don't think 36 of them out of the 100 are on Twitter. I could almost probably name for you the principals that are on Twitter in my district right now. Like
that'd be an interesting poll just to do within your own district. And so if you're out there listening and you have the ability to do that, poll your own district to see, you know, how accurate these kind of.
Are you going to tell them to use the Poll Everywhere app? Use the new Poll Everywhere app.
I kind of like that one, John.
You like Poll Everywhere? Tech in English class most effective? Principals say so. Principals say technology is used most effectively in English language arts, 58%. CTE.
Wait a second. Does that mean that effective because they're just word processing?
Right. It means effective because they can type a paper on their Chromebook.
Word processing, right. And gotcha.
Which we know is totally effective and they couldn't do otherwise.
Honestly, John, part of me blames this on I like Chromebooks, you know, I'm one-to-one with Chromebooks.
Sure.
But part of me blames Chromebooks for this. Apple iPads, and you were used to be iPad Sammy.
That's right.
Are much more of a creative tool that gets you away from just word processing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, am I?
No. No, okay. You're not. And that's the easiest, right. That what do teachers, let's say teachers that aren't on Twitter, because we're showing you the light, right? But let's say teachers that aren't on Twitter, like they might just think, okay, yeah, look, they're using this, they're doing this assignment, they're typing it up, they're turning it into me. I don't know. It's interesting. High school principals leading on BYOD.
By the way, John, we did a Bedley Brothers maybe about a year ago, maybe longer ago, with a high school student who shared her story of what blended digital learning was like in her high school and how frustrated she was with the whole experience of supposedly being like a tech kind of a school and it not really being a tech kind of school, just a lot of word processing going on.
That's funny. You know, I've been talking a little bit to an old student of mine. I had in fourth grade, who's now a sophomore in college, and he's interning at a ed tech company. And he was talking about the problems with just basic history texts and how boring they are. And he had an idea and he shared it with me and just how to make it more interesting. It did make it more interesting. And I'm like, right. I think he's like, that's a real problem. This is like always the top school, like high school in Texas, right? Where he went to. And he's talking about how he was just telling me how he thought that kids just moaned and groaned. I mean, this is, you know, it was the 1-to-1 iPad district, you know, in 2011 or 2012 or whenever it happened, right? And here it is.
I mean, there's enough resources out there. I mean, even, okay, so like Shelly Terrell has a book coming out soon, right? About different hacking digital learning strategies. It's going to be awesome. There's enough out there to be able to, anyways, go ahead.
I know. By the way, that I had a barbecue with Shelly Terrell. There's my one of my EduFamous stories right there.
There you go.
I saw her.
Co-founder of EdChat, right?
Co-founder of EdChat. I know. Oh. Gosh, yeah, I know. She's so legit. And so we went to this great barbecue place. It was called like...
In Texas? I forget
what it's called. But this was actually at a guy's
house. That was, by the way, John, every other ISTE 17 picture...
Was barbecue shots.
I've seen enough barbecue. We get it. They have barbecue.
There's barbecue in Texas. I know. I actually went to the really good place though.
That's like, hey, there's snow up here in Alaska. Yeah, check it out. You're never going to believe this. There's snow. Here's another picture of snow.
By the way, yeah. So Shelly is, and I got to meet the baby. Savvy. Oh,
that's awesome.
So I got my picture with, her baby daddy, Jake Duncan, too. Jake Duncan, by the way, one of my favorite ed tech people of all time.
Yeah.
He always has been. So you know what? Before there was coffee EDU or coffee Q or I'm going to go for coffee or here you're coming for coffee, there was EdCamp Starbucks where I would go to EdCamp, like, you know, in 2012 or whatever in Houston, and I would go, Jake, you're going to this with me after I meet him at Starbucks. I'd buy him a coffee and then he would just give me like 9 or 10 great websites that we would talk about on Techlandia.
That's right.
How I'd get my good stuff. So before there was all that stuff, I don't want to say that, you know, that was an original idea.
Before there were fidget spinners and 3D
printers. Before there were fidget spinners. By the way, look at my fidget spinner. Oh yeah. Chicago Bears, baby. So there you go.
Keep going.
Well, if you ever watch the video on Techlandia right now, I'm using my football-shaped Bears fidget spinner I just got today. Okay, so let's go. Paperless school. That isn't even...
3 in 10 principals say they're at least 50% of their instructional materials.
No.
That doesn't surprise me.
You think so?
3 in 10 principals would say that. Okay. 70%.
But they would say that, but are the principals lying?
Well, and they're only saying 50%. Of their instructional materials are now digital rather than printed.
Okay.
One seems pretty authentic, I guess.
Okay. All right. High tech expectations for new teachers. Principals say that new teachers should know how to use technology but they're not going to help them and differentiate instruction and communicate with parents and students. They should also know how to develop, implement, and evaluate online assessments and manage a classroom where every student has a mobile device. I am calling this is like they're giving the little percentages there. I know people that have interviewed for jobs like flat out like lately and they said there was not one question about technology or technology integration. They were like ready for it. Still not even because they're using you know, interview questions from like 10, 12 years ago, and they're not updating it then. We had talked about this a little bit in one of my other Voxer chats. When are we going to update the hiring practices for teachers and give teachers some flexibility so that people can actually do the job in states where they don't, you know, I don't understand this good old boy system of, you know, you have to know somebody to even just get the interview to get in the door. I mean, there are thousands of, in Oregon,
John, like I met a really cool guy and he was sharing about his experience of actually creating an online bot to apply to jobs.
Oh, right. You told me that story. Are you going to actually talk about this? Like, we should go, we should digress from the thing. Talk about, okay, so Scott won't say this because he's mine.
No. Okay. Let's finish this off. Let's talk about this,
John. Okay, we're done. We're done. The principals are all lying. We know they're full of baloney. Okay, we know you're full of baloney.
No, they're not.
So if you haven't
it makes me wonder, like, what were the actual numbers? Like, what are the actual numbers of what's happening out there, and how could we actually find this? Because everyone's going to sell themselves a little bit better. I always sell myself a little bit better.
Okay, you're not even selling yourself at all. Okay, so here we go. So Scott's not selling.
No, ISTE. Back to ISTE, John.
No, let's not. All right. So, but you're going to tell your story about the bot guy, right?
I'll tell my story about the bot, but that doesn't have to go into anything.
Okay, so Scott, what I'm saying is Scott met the bot guy. Come on, you seriously don't want to tell people that you just
Don't say it.
No?
Don't say it.
Why? I don't understand. Yes. Scott did this great thing. All right, so tell your story. I won't bust you up then. Yeah. It's a good story. Not a lot of people get flown to Europe to do things.
John,
I didn't say what. I just said a lot of people don't get flown to Europe. I haven't been flown to Europe to do anything. Gone to Europe.
I got flown there to clean restrooms.
He got flown there to clean restrooms. Okay, so tell us about the guy you met at the TED thing.
Okay, so a guy named Robert Coombs he's a technology strategist, and he started to automate.
I'm an innovation strategist.
You should, but he's fantastic.
He could go get a latte whenever he wants, probably.
He can. It's super, super smart guy. He was applying to all these like big tech companies and wasn't getting any kind of response at all, was getting the automated thing. And he started doing some research into it, and he actually created this bot to send out applications to all these companies and see what their, could he actually get a job? Mm-hmm. Using this bot. And he told the whole story. It was really super interesting. And what it came back to, his final conclusion was, after sending out 30,000, this is the totally wrong facts, but something like 13,000 job applications by this bot that kept adjusting his applications and trying to find the keywords that the computer companies automated sorting system, because they all have automated sorting systems now. Mm-hmm. Where how does he get himself through those systems just to be able to get an interview, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what he found was that no matter what he would do, he couldn't get through. And so the only real way he found that you could actually get into any of these really good jobs is you have to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be kind of like that relational connection to be able to actually get in. And I'll tweet out a link as soon as you can see him sharing his story. But it was really cool to hear what he had to say. Good guy too, really good guy.
You heard that in person though, right? You heard that in person?
I did hear that in person.
Scott did something. I'm just going to say Scott.
No, don't say it, John.
Scott would never say it, but I think.
John. I think
it's really cool. Can I just say it's really cool? I can't say it's really cool.
Sure, you can say it's
cool. What you did? Okay. I think it was cool what Scott did. Scott.
Well, wait till you see it. You might not think it's that cool.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch it and I'll reconsider. But I still think it's cool. No matter what, even if you failed miserably, know what? That was your first attempt in learning, Scott. If you fail.
I should tweet that out. That's a really good saying.
Yeah, we should put that on a quote card or something. First that would be so interesting.
Hey, did you know that that first attempt in learning, that spells fail out?
Oh my gosh, it's like an acronym. Holy cow, get out of here. Oh my goodness.
I'm going to quote you on that, John.
Oh my goodness, I'm on to something.
That's fantastic.
Here. You know what people should do? They should fail forward.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Mind blown.
How are U.S. schools failing students? John, let's talk about that.
Oh, anyway. I don't know. Well, so that's good. You know what? I think if we don't do this and we stop here, we would actually be under an hour, Scott. Can we do this? Can we not?
I think we probably should.
Okay, we should stop. But... because we're going to get in trouble. You know what? We actually had an episode before this And I know that like three people
she'll
watched
forever
it on
remain in the can.
And the only thing, we were so snarky and we started naming people. We named names.
Yeah.
So, and Scott was like, thought about it the next day and I felt bad and we did name names.
I thought about it. We were harsh. What was happening.
Really? Okay. I didn't really think about it while it was happening. I just thought we should. I thought we named names on Grumpy Teacher. Sometimes we name names.
Well, we implement names, but I don't know if we've ever named names.
We named Jerome Heath that one time.
Who?
Jerome Heath, the guy that blocked me. Remember, we told that story.
Oh, that's right. We did?
Anyway, yeah. He's,
what, it's been a long time since we did that.
He doesn't, I know. He and I had that I don't even know. It was just such a silly thing. Like, he misunderstood what I was saying and then blocked me, and then I got all mad at him.
We've got, three episodes that we could do tonight just based on what we had planned to do tonight.
I know. Well, we'll save it then. We should start. We should start, and let's be a little bit more regular because I don't want you to get upset because Brian Briggs and I have started the Steam Team. So, basically, people, what we're doing is, if you've made it through this far, you know that we used to do Techlandia and we had all these different things, and then Kurt and Allison bailed on me, and we've had other people. I'm still hurt because I did a lot of work for those guys. All they did was show up, and they were just the talent. I tried to keep the talent happy as long as I could. So I did keep them happy for a long time. So I think what we're going to do is, Scott came up with a good idea of, like, we'll just call it. I have so many ideas for podcasts that are different. And we love this. I mean, this is my favorite one to do, obviously, because Scott and I can just rant about stuff. But I feel like we try and be constructive. But we're just going to call it, Scott told me to call it just the Techlandia family. So the one I started with Brian, we talk about, like, the Steam Team. We just started, you know, that's not very original either. There's tons of people. But we just want to talk about, like, the geeky Steam stuff that we do.
Aren't you two guys talking Steam?
Yeah, two guys talking Steam. Talking about a Steam, and we're not talking about Seinfeld Steam Rooms.
The Dream Steam Team?
Yeah, he wanted to be the Steam Dream Team, and I said, no.
You've got to put Dream in front of it all. The Dream Steam Team?
But then it sounds like we're just dreaming about Steam.
That's right.
That sounds like we're dreaming about people that come and clean your carpets, the Steam Team. So anyway, we're going to, you know, we'll do that podcast. I actually still have
one. What's the calendar coming out? We still haven't got the calendar out.
We need the calendar, right? We do. But I have one that I really want to do that's my 5-minute grouch fest that's just me solo called Get Off My Lawn. I have that one. I have tons of ideas for that one. So if you see one and it comes across, and you just stay tuned into the old Techlandia feed if you're ever there, and you'll just get weird things. That's what got us kicked off the Edu Podcast Network. He was just so mad because I kept saying, I don't really know what I want to do. I'm failing forward. It's my first podcast, right? So I was trying to practice what I preach and do these different podcasts. So I really am thinking I'm going to do one this year for my school district.
Wait, Scott, you got kicked off? That's something, Joe?
Well, no, I mean, yeah, kicked off might be a harsh word, but he did say, if you're not going to create a new feed for each podcast, then you got to go.
But they're all John. They're all John Samuelson with...
I know.
John Samuelson and Friends.
He didn't understand my vision.
It should be just John Samuelson and Friends talking education.
Right, yeah.
Today's show, we're going to talk about Steam.
Yeah.
It's John Samuelson and Friends. Today, we're just going to be grumpy.
Right, and then as Scott sits there and he's like, oh, it's an episode of Steam Team again. I'm mad.
It's like the Hanna-Barbera world of
Right. Why can't you understand? It's like the Hanna-Barbera of educational podcasts. Come on.
Just all kinds of different cartoon characters.
That's right. So anyway, I'm probably Snaggletooth. Magella Gorilla is who I like to be, actually. I like the Grape Ape, too.
Grape Ape's fantastic.
Grape Ape's good. All right. Well, Captain Caveman, pretty good, too.
Captain Caveman!
You're kind of like, you kind of remember Captain Caveman, because you have...
Thank you, John.
With you. You know what I'm saying? I always think of that. Scott Medley and the Teen Angels. That was a thing, right? Wasn't it Captain Caveman and the Teen Angels?
Was that Josie and the Pussycats? Was that Hanna-Barbera too?
I think so. That was a bad remake of a movie when they remade it 6 years ago, though. Yeah. I don't even know if that.
Did they make original ideas in Hollywood anymore, John?
I don't think so. Although I do want to see the Baby Driver movie.
I know Chips. I just saw on a plane and a long
you,
airplane.
You really watch Chips? Ooh,
well, I was on a 14-hour flight. John.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, from
I
Europe.
I watched like 10 movies.
Oh, okay.
I watched Boyhood on the way there. That was like a 14-hour movie.
You did not watch Boyhood. I would be so happy if you actually watched Boyhood.
It was sure. a 14-hour flight there, and I watched Boyhood, and I didn't even.
This
finish
is a
well.
Running joke. Scott will never watch the movie Boyhood, even though I tell him it's awesome. All right. Well, we will let you go, but thanks for listening, Christina Luce, and we will catch you on the flip side. Whoa.